Statewide caucuses will be held in Minnesota February 4th. In Cook County, the Republican Party will meet at the Senior Center, and the DFL Party will meet at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts in Grand Marais. Both parties will meet at 7 p.m. Joining us on the phone now to help us understand caucuses is Minnesota Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Welcome, Secretary Ritchie, and thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Can you start out by explaining what a caucus is?
Well, the caucus is a function of the political parties. And so in Minnesota, we have six really strongly functioning political parties. You know, we have the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the Independence Party. Those are our three, we call them major parties. But then we have the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Constitutional Party, and occasionally we have others, Grassroots Party and others, who are sometimes called minor parties. But each of these political organizations has the capacity, and often they choose to gather their members physically, and the caucus is the descriptive word of that, to handle the business of the party at the most grassroots level. And it has the purpose of selecting the leadership, so your precinct caucus chair. It has the purpose of being the starting point for provisions that end up in the party's state platform. So it's proposed and debated and voted on and then moves up the ladder. Then the selecting of delegates, typically for what would be considered the next stage, the Senate District Convention, and that often leads to a county or a congressional district convention, and then that often leads to a state convention. So the caucus is the starting point for those selections of those delegates. And in the end of the day, it has become often the case that the candidates who receive the endorsement of their Senate district or, let's say, their congressional district or their state have many advantages and often automatically become their party's candidate without having to stand in the primary process, the election that we have in August that typically chooses the final name for the ballot. That party endorsement is not always a guarantee that you will be the party's candidate, but it's a very strong factor in your favor. So these precinct caucuses often are the place where the candidate is chosen who ultimately ends up on the ballot.
Who can attend caucus?
Well, so caucuses are open to the people who the political parties determine are eligible for their caucus. So caucuses are not something of the government or of the state. So as the official chief election officer, I'm not involved in setting the rules for the caucuses. There are a few state laws that give some instruction for allowing for time off and for use of public buildings. But generally speaking, the rules for the caucus, deciding who can attend and how the procedures will be followed, is set by the party. I think the safe way to say it is if you're eligible to vote, then you are most likely within the rules set by the party. But I don't know all of those different rules of all those different political parties. You can check on the website of the political party to just double check.
What takes place at a caucus? Some people may be intimidated by the process if they haven't been to one before.
Well, it's a meeting, so we all kind of have a sense of meetings in the modern era. Generally speaking, you are in a meeting where there's a time where there's a selection of the officers for the precinct. Then there's a time where proposals are debated about matters of policy. Typically, we call this in the party platform, so to speak. And then there's the choice of candidates of the delegates to go to the next higher level convention. And that's typically done through some statement of ideas and also who the person is likely to support in the endorsement process as it goes to a higher level, a Senate district level, a county, a congressional district, a state. In some places, they're very competitive. In some places, there aren't very competitive races.
And you're basically getting together with your friends and your neighbors.
Yes, within the context of chosen political party. You're free to choose your political party as your own choice of conscience and then to participate with your friends and neighbors who've made that same choice.
What makes this year in particular a significant election year?
Well, this is the year that we will choose our governor and all the constitutional officers, including Secretary of State. This is the year we will choose the entire makeup of our Minnesota House of Representatives. So that's every single member of the House of Representatives will be chosen in the fall election. We also will have all of our congressional seats, so all those members of the U.S. House of Representatives, and a very special thing in a way, we will have one of our U.S. senators. They serve a six-year term, so they only come up for re-election every 6 years, and we have that race on our ballot for this year. So that typically puts a lot of energy and gets a lot of excitement going. These years that we call sometimes the governor's year as opposed to, let's say, the presidential year, we remain always the number one voting state in the nation by turnout, but we are significantly below our typical high in the presidential years of about 75 to 76% of eligible voters. We're down in the 60% range, and so while we're still number one, it's clear in the statistics that there's less public participation, although it's clear that who we elect as our representatives and who we elect as our governor is very important. And so there's lots of work that we in our Office of Secretary of State and others do, League of Women Voters and all kinds of groups, to help remind people, are you registered? Make sure you have everything done. These are important. Get out there and vote. So you'll see a lot of that message about the importance of vote as the year progresses.
What are some ways that we can even become more engaged as voters?
Well, I think there are three things, and one of them, of course, is becoming a election judge or what we sometimes call a poll worker. Typically, there's a few hours of training, and then there are primary elections in August, our general elections in November. Some places you can do this on a half-day basis. You're getting paid. It's a modest amount, but it's a way to give back to the community that requires 30,000 Minnesotans to volunteer to be these election officials, election judges, or poll workers in a normal election year. So that's one thing. The second thing is, of course, getting active and supporting the person or persons that you believe in, that you would like to see elected. And sometimes that's a simple licking stamps, or it's phoning, or it's, you know, just coming over and helping out with a parade. But it's just taking that step that says, yes, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to vote for this person, and I want to urge my neighbors, friends, others to support that person as well. So that's the second thing. And the third is a little bit more ongoing. It's not just about elections, but it's taking the opportunity to write a letter to the newspaper or to stand up at a church meeting or wherever you have a voice, a membership, a participation, and being part of the shaping of the issues, the shaping of the ideas, the shaping of the debate. It's not the same as voting. It's not the same as working for a candidate that you support. But at the end of the day, it redefines the democracy as all of us taking responsibility for those matters that are in the commons. Voting is just one moment. It does one particular thing. Working for a candidate is one thing. But being a constantly active citizen, a civically engaged person, through our daily life, that's one of the ways that really defines, and I would say distinguishes, this amazing democracy we have here in Minnesota. We're not just number one in elections, but we're number one in volunteerism. We're number one in charitable contributions. And so it's in our DNA, it's in our blood, and we help each other to keep that civic engagement high.
Secretary Ritchie, is there anything else we should know about caucuses while we got you on the phone?
Well, I think that it is the place where the democracy begins. And It's sometimes cold out and sometimes snowy out, and there's always things to do with family and friends and with work. We're a busy people, but just taking that little bit of time to go online, find the caucus of the party of your choice, find a place, and then to go and participate, it reinforces the whole process because we're all active, but it also gives a little sense of pride in our democracy because it's our form of that town hall or village meeting we sometimes talk about in New England. It's the place where people gather in their neighborhood and make some decisions that ultimately are little rivulets, little streams that flow together to make a big river that flow into the ocean. And that notion that those small meetings in the neighborhood flow to create our democratic process, it's really true. So if you can get there, do it.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today and for helping us to better understand how citizens can participate in the political process.
Great. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you again.